big story that we continue to track, the absolute collapse in relations between India and Canada. What we are looking at now, with Canada making very strong allegations, including against the Indian High Commissioner, who they say is a person of interest, is a matter of huge concern. These are images of the Canadian Charge d'Affaires going in to South Block, where, besides everything else, he was told that India will be recalling our High Commissioner and we will be recalling other diplomats as well, since we have no faith in the Canadian system at this juncture.
The Government of Canada has done what India has long been asking for. Canada has provided credible, irrefutable evidence of ties between agents of the Government of India and a murder of a Canadian citizen on Canadian soil. Now it is time for India to live up to what it said it would do and look into those allegations. It is in the interest of both our countries and the peoples of our countries to get to the bottom of this. Canada stands ready to cooperate with India.
Well, my colleague Maha Siddiqui joins us for more on this. Maha, it's been more than a year. Canada has not submitted any evidence so far, and all of a sudden they claim to have submitted evidence on a day in which we decided to recall our High Commissioner. It just seems really bizarre. Is there any explanation on the delay in the submission of so-called evidence?
So, Vishnu, from what we are getting to know from here is that the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, that was conducting an investigation into the killing of Hardeep Singh Nijjar in Surrey in British Columbia last year, has carried out an investigation, and details of that were apparently shared with India, after which India responded in the sharp manner it has. This escalation has really gone up to a level where we haven't seen with any other country that India conducts diplomatic ties with, apart from, if you recall, in the recent past with Pakistan, where the High Commissioner himself has been withdrawn from the host country. So Sanjay Verma, after this person of interest report that has been shared with India by Canada, Sanjay Verma was named as a person of interest. He's India's High Commissioner in Ottawa. He's been withdrawn. Apart from that, five other diplomats have been withdrawn by India from Canada. This is a real escalation in the already frosty ties between India and Canada. And at the moment, there is also an investigation that is underway, or at least an inquiry underway in India as well, by a commission that was set up by India to look into this matter, after the US had also brought up this issue with India regarding the alleged assassination plot against Pannu in Washington, D.C., in New York, actually. So, Vishnu, there are parallel events that are taking place, parallel inquiries that are taking place. The U.S. is conducting its own work. India has a commission set up, which had a wider scope, because Canada had also made this allegation against India that possibly there was a hand of Indian agents in the killing of Hardeep Singh Nijjar here in Canada. This report, I understand, basis which India has taken action, is an RCMP report. And this has called Sanjay Verma a person of interest in this matter. However, along with Sanjay Verma, five other diplomats have also been withdrawn by India. India, in a sharp statement, has said that violence and extremism continue in Canada. The Canadian government hasn't done much about it, and that this is pandering to vote bank politics. This is an allegation that has been made in the past by India as well. And certainly in an election year in Canada, this is an allegation that the Justin Trudeau government will also have to look into carefully, considering that there are at least 13 constituencies in which it is believed that there is a stronghold or a large Sikh community. However, one needs to make a very strong distinction between the Sikh community and those that have extremist views or are backing a pro-Khalistan agenda, because there are Sikh communities here in Canada who live very peacefully, do not at all associate with the Khalistani elements. But however, the Canadian government's understanding, or the Canadian politics, or the Liberal government's understanding perhaps, is that this is an issue that is important to Sikhs across Canada. and in the various pockets. And therefore, as India alleges, this is pandering to vote bank politics ahead of the elections. Now, elections, as you know, in Canada are going to be held in October 2025. But the situation at this moment in Canada also remains pretty precarious politically, considering that the Justin Trudeau government is a minority government at the moment. And there are lots of there is a buzz, actually, that elections could be held even in spring. So certainly this is both a political issue, but diplomatically the fallout has been grave with India withdrawing its high commissioner.
All right, Maha, stay with us. I'm also joined by Daniel Boardman, a senior journalist from Canada, and Brahma Chalani, the strategic affairs expert. Daniel Boardman, besides anything else, it just seems rather ludicrous that Canada believes that India's high commissioner to Ottawa is a person of interest. It's, you know, I mean, it's one thing to make allegations of who may or may not be involved in this alleged plot, but to suggest the Indian high commissioner was a part of it and five other Indian diplomats were involved in essentially eliminating Canadian citizens on Canadian soil, it just seems, it seems ludicrous. It really does. How would you respond?
Yeah, it does seem ludicrous. And the assessment shared by the Indian government, which was quite scathing, isn't too far off from where the Canadian public is on the Trudeau administration, the RCMP, and all these institutions. So there has been rumblings for a while now among Canadians that Justin Trudeau has politicized all these different branches. And if we go back to the beginning of this, Hardip Singh Najjar, the self-proclaimed leader of the Khalistan Tiger Force, which should be a terrorist organization, it's an offshoot of a listed terrorist organization in this country, but regardless, he is killed by a couple of Sikh gang members on student visas. Now, this is a huge, huge problem in Canada. Canadians are starting to wake up to the broken immigration system and how Trudeau is just handing out student visas to anyone like they're candy, and terrorists are getting in from Pakistan. Gangsters are getting in. India's tried to warn us, but we've stuck our fingers in their ears. Now, when it all started, this was around the specter of foreign interference in China, which has been really building up on the Trudeau government. And as the inquiry goes on, it doesn't look good because the Liberal ministers are forced to give the most asinine excuses for their incompetence. We are basically at the point where the Liberals are claiming that they're not actually influenced by the CCP, and their defense in many cases is sometimes to the extent of, I don't know how to read. We don't know how to read. That's why when the briefings came on our desk or the emails came, we don't know how to read an email. We couldn't actually open up the email. And again, there would be no point of resending the email from the security agencies because we couldn't figure out how to open it or read it. Now, these same people who claim that they can't open an email or read are now coming out with these accusations against India. So this is why a lot of Canadians who are in this sphere are very skeptical, because the Foreign Interference Committee is going pretty hard. It looks like every one of the major Liberals knew, was complicit, and is working with China. Our media is trying to downplay and ignore this because, again, they're all funded by the government, so everything is government media in Canada. And now we also have an internal caucus revolt where it's so bad for Trudeau, where MPs are meeting when he's out of the country to try and oust him. So in the specter of all this different happening, you know, he starts to take pot shots in India to sort of muddle the message. And remember, you could say it's vote bank politics, it's this and that. I think the votes are all gone. The Conservatives will win in a landslide. This seems to be just hardline ideology. There are strident ideologues within the Liberal and NDP parties. Many of them, the Indian government outright said the thing. Like, we saw a bunch of, basically translation of what they said, we saw all the Khalistanis you put in your cabinet as ministers. And this has now come to a head. So there's many Liberals that are pro-Muslim Brotherhood, that are pro-Khalistan, that are pro-CCP, and all this sort of bubbling over. And, you know, to start a new news cycle, take shots at India.
Sure.
Have the news cycle churn all this mixed foreign interference together. And
you know, Daniel, what seems really strange for us, watching on from New Delhi, from India, is why is there at any level support for those who are part of the Khalistani ideology? There is zero support for that over here in India. There is no desire to break India into pieces, number one. Number two, these are terrorists who India has been wanted extradited for the longest period of time. And that's been denied, you know, over and over by successive Canadian governments. So why would any political party in Canada, irrespective of which side of the spectrum they're on, want to align themselves with terrorist sympathizers or terrorists?
One, money. Two, there are some people with actual terrorist and extremist ideologies in the government who work in it. And so some of them are true believers. There have been true believers of Khalistan. There's people in the Trudeau government who said Hamas and Hezbollah are not terrorists, and he supported them. So in Canada, we have a very high permissive. We don't like to talk about hard things. The accusations of course, isms and phobias, whatever they may be, are enough to paralyze a good portion of the electorate on a lot of issues. And then just a lot of money. The Khalistanis successfully infiltrated. There was tons of money coming in from Pakistan, now a bit more from China these days. But if you have the system we have where in specific ridings, you can really stack a nomination riding and get your people in. Like, you know, the areas that the Khalistanis exist, they have full control over. The areas that they don't really exist, they have no control over. But because there's some regional makeup to Canadian politics, they've been able to infiltrate it with just money, money, money. They spent tons of money on these gurdwaras. A lot of the gurdwaras in Canada are incredibly radical, far more radical than you'd find anywhere else in the world. I'd even put them up pound for pound with Pakistan. But this is the problem we're dealing with. It's tons of money, tons
got
of
it. Got it, Daniel. Give me a second. I just want to go across to Ambassador Shashank, India's former foreign secretary. Ambassador, India has recalled our high commissioner from Ottawa. It's almost unbelievable to think that the situation with Canada, another democracy, is like this. You know, I mean, be that as it may, do you believe that Canada will follow suit, that they would withdraw their representatives from India?
You know, it's really unbelievable the way Canadians suddenly woke up after 1 year, and now they are naming the Indian High Commissioner and a few diplomats posted there in the mission as people of interest to them, to their agencies. I think whatever India has decided has been done. Now, whether the Canadians respond in equal measure or the Indians tell them that they need to cut down their staff, because I have seen the Indian ministry's statement. And it's very clear that they are saying that the Canadian embassy's functioning in India is also not up to the mark. They have been interfering in the Indian affairs. So therefore, I think what the threats which are being posed to the Indian diplomats and the Indian High Commissioner in Canada is only one part of the picture. Second is what is happening in India also. So there might be further developments in this regard on the diplomatic front. But I must say that there are about equal number of Canadian Sikhs and non-Sikhs from India. And in the most of the Gurdwaras, actually, these are the Sikhs who are not for Khalistan ideology. They normally lose out most of the elections in the Gurdwaras, but the point remains that they have money and they have become politically very, very active. So I think this is something which is very interesting, that whether it is China, whether it's Pakistan, or in the old days, in the 80s, I think the Canadians and the Americans, they thought that like they have Israel.
Okay.
Based in Middle East, they might have Khalistan between India and Pakistan. And they could run the affairs in both these countries by long distance diplomatic and strategic reach. And the Pakistanis were playing that game very well. I was in Pakistan in the 80s. And I remember the Pakistan president telling the youngsters in Pakistan that, look, we could not go to Kashmir because the people in Punjab, they were supporting the Indian army very strongly. So we have to raise the issue of Khalistan in order to make sure that Kashmir falls into our lap. And that is the only way we have to go about it. But why India, while Pakistan got support from USA and Canada at that time, and still continue to get it and getting the support of China also, I think it's a very surprising development.
Ambassador Prabhu Dayal, I'm just going to read out the last statement of India's latest release. It was also conveyed that India reserves the right to take further steps in response to the Trudeau government's support for extremism, violence and separatism against India. Do you believe that this is perhaps a statement that suggests that Canada's High Commissioner will be asked to go back?
Well, I certainly think that there is going to be an escalation of this diplomatic row. Because India is not going to take things lying down. What Canada has done has been downright mischievous and insulting. And India now reserves the right to take further steps in response to these latest efforts of the Canadian government to concoct allegations against Indian diplomats. Let me mention that while the Canadian side has been making allegation after allegation, it has not given a shred of evidence. And I think we have put this point across to the other side, to the Canadian side, that their actions are on account of their own domestic politics. Justin Trudeau is losing his support base. He is in danger of losing his prime ministership in the next election. And within his own party, his support is on the decline. In fact, a number of members of the Liberal Party are having their small meetings to make it very clear to Justin Trudeau that they are withdrawing support to him. He no longer represents the Liberal Party because he's a disaster. And if we look at how India-Canada relations have deteriorated during his prime ministership, I think that speaks volumes for his incompetence and for the fact that he owes his seat itself to the support that he gets from the extremist Sikhs, and he dances to their tune.
Dr. Brahma Chalani, it's one thing. It just seems that the timing of Canada now this evening saying that we've handed over evidence, almost in response to India's statement earlier on in the day when we said that you haven't handed over evidence, it just seems that why at the 11th hour would Canada choose to do that? If you've had evidence, why not give it earlier on? It just seems the timing of this seems bizarre.
Well, first, as the Indian government said today, that not a shred of evidence has been shared by Canada with India. It's been 16 months since the killing of Nijjar, who was a designated terrorist in India. But I think the core issue, which we should not forget, the core issue between Canada and India is Canada's long-standing tolerance of Sikh separatist activity, including Sikh terrorist activity, which led to the 1985 Twin Air India bombings. One Air India bombing killed all 329 people on board. The second Air India bombing in 1985 misfired, killing two Japanese baggage handlers at Tokyo's Narita Airport. Today, when we look at Canada, it has clearly become the global hub of the Sikh militant movement, the Khalistan movement. But this is not just Khalistanis. These are Khalistanis that are glorifying violence. They are erecting billboards in Canada calling for the killing of Indian diplomats. These Sikh extremists have also staged public parade floats on which the assassination of Indira Gandhi has been reenacted, that these Sikhs extremists have attacked Indian diplomatic missions in Canada. All this has happened under Trudeau's watch. So given that background and given the fact that the Trudeau government has been increasingly not just tolerating, but in a way abetting Sikh militant activity against India, it's not a surprise that the relations between the two countries have reached their lowest point. That point was reached even before the latest developments. Now that Canada has taken actions which have led to India recalling its High Commissioner and five other diplomats, it's apparent that there will be reciprocal actions taken by India against Canada. So we have entered now a cycle of escalation, but the damage to the relationship was already done by Trudeau when he stood up in Parliament and made that allegation based on patchy intelligence that the Biden administration shared with Canada.
Okay. Dr. Tarakarthap, let's look at this briefly from another standpoint because it's important. At the end of the day, the people-to-people links between Indo-Canadians and people back home are huge. We've had Indians settle down in Canada for decades. The family links are huge. We've got tens of thousands of Indian students over there for a period of time. If diplomatic relations stumble to this level, then what happens to that association?
I think it's a rather a catch-22 situation because I think there were about 320,000 odd Indian students there. That number has already fallen drastically. And there was a report just months ago that major universities are hugely dependent on Indian students, not foreign students, Indian students for their funding. It's far more than what they get from their local governments or from the national government. So these I would really wish that we could get our students back and get the universities, which we're doing now, to sort of sponsor, you know, have your own universities in India and get the best of education back here. You know, you shouldn't be dependent on foreign universities. But I just want to say one thing, by the way, in terms of this Nijjar controversy. This man was meeting Canadian security officials days before his death. You know, so for ages, I come from a security background. To me, this man was an intelligence asset, which also ties in with much of the stuff which we've been seeing with a lot of murders in India tied to Sikhs. Khalistani security groups. I mean, Khalistani terrorist groups. As well as, if you remember, this is very curious. This Ripudaman Singh Malik, who had, you know, who was an accused terrorist, he comes to India, he praises Modi, he goes back, he gets bumped off. You had another criminal, Sukhdeo Singh Malik, also a criminal, bumped off. So there is a lot of inter-gang rivalry, one, and there is a strong dose of intelligence sources within this. This is how people use the drug and other networks. They are used by countries to spy, for spying purposes. You saw the whole David Headley scenario. So there's a much larger picture here, which is, for me, as you know, as a national security issue, this is critical. What are these links which are working back in India? We need to look at that as well.
Captain Alok Bansal, Director of the India Foundation, you know, it's not often that India, you know, makes direct references to the politics of any country, because that's sort of interfering in the internal affairs of a country. But India has done just that. A very direct statement. The Trudeau government has consciously provided space to violent extremists and terrorists to harass, threaten, intimidate Indian diplomats, etc., etc. This has been done in the name of freedom of speech. But the key part over here is Trudeau's hostility to India has been evident. In 2018, his visit to India, which was aimed at currying favor with a vote bank, rebounded. His cabinet included individuals who've openly associated with an extremist and separatist ideology. His naked interference in Indian internal politics has showed how far he was willing to go in this regard. That his party was dependent on a political party whose leader openly espouses a separatist ideology only aggravated matters. To me, this is one of the most striking aspects of this, where we are seeing Indian foreign policy and the external affairs minister go not just after an issue, but at the core of the politics of a foreign leader.
See, there is no doubt that Trudeau government is dependent on a new democratic party, which is headed by Jagmeet Singh. If you look at his past track record, he actually protested when Kamal Nath visited Canada. He has been a pro-separatist all through and through. And his party's support is critical as far as Trudeau's survival is concerned. His own Liberal Party has members who are ranked separatist. Actually, if you remember, long back, one of the Liberal MPs, Ramesh Sangha, had openly said that there are at least five ministers who are actually openly advocating Khalistan, and he had to resign. The poor chap had to resign. So that has been the proclivities of Khalistanis within the Liberal Party, as well as their prime supporter in New Democratic Party. So there is no doubt that what Trudeau is doing is nothing but an offshoot of his domestic internal politics. Whereas you can see that Emperor Kanishka bombing, the culprits who were actually responsible are scot-free and moving freely in Canada. Now, this is an ironical position where hypothetical charges have been framed against Indian diplomats just to please a domestic opinion of a certain section of the society, and especially the members of his own political party, as well as the main support, one of the main supporting parties on whose support his government is actually dependent on. So there is, I think it's a very clear-cut enunciation, and that's why government of India had to make this fact public. Usually you don't talk about such issues in public, but it was such a blatant partisan attitude of the government that government was forced with no other option but to make it public.
Ambassador Shashank, what's the way out? What's the way forward?
Well, I think we have to wait for the elections to take place in Canada. In the meantime, we find that the political parties In the US, they are talking about the Indian connection in a different way. And the political parties in Canada are depending on the Khalistani extreme opinion and trying to curry favor with them. The issue is that India has normally taken pride, and the Indians have been working abroad all over the world. And they have created an image for themselves as apolitical and not interfering in any country's affairs. It is only these Khalistanis who have done so much to get political mileage in the Canadian landscape, where they are, I mean, I think the 80% of the Indian migrants there are from the Sikh community, but most of them are living very peacefully, as in India also. Punjab is very peaceful. Everybody is holding elections. Everyone is taking part in them. I think it is these people who are getting encouragement from various sources. And I think that the Canadians have to really prove themselves at some stage that they are a democracy which is willing to work with other democracies rather than be friendly with countries like China or Pakistan or other terrorist-prone countries.
Daniel Boardman, isn't it tragic, though, that Indo-Canadians, who are one of the most successful communities in Canada, one of the most literate, educated, well-meaning communities, sort of get cast under, an overall shadow put by a small group of people who have nothing to do with the true values or the true success of this of the Indo-Canadian community?
Yeah, I mean, you've highlighted one of the great tragedies of sort of modern Western politics and what, you know, people call wokeism or social justice or this, where, you know, we have this ideology coming out of Western institutions where there's the oppressor and there's the oppressed, and we can just look at something and we basically need to turn everything into 1960s U.S. race relations. So many groups, Khalistanis included, but not the only ones, have successfully co-opted this narrative and have turned Indians into oppressors. And the way Indians are oppressors is you look at that. They're being successful. They've integrated. They have businesses. Lowest crime rate in the country is Indian immigrants, if you remove the Khalistanis. And this is actually a symptom of guilt and evidence of guilt in our modern society, because in order for some communities to succeed, that means they're succeeding at the cost of other communities, because life is a zero-sum game to the Justin Trudeauites. So, I mean, it's even more ridiculous when you think the Indian community, because the Sikh community is doing great in Canada as well. So it's not like we have oppressed Sikhs. But when you integrate into Western civilization and you do well and your children become doctors and lawyers and engineers, that's great for you. But to a certain segment of our population, which is now the base of the Liberal and the NDP party, this is actually evidence of your guilt and malfeasance. And it's turning violent. Hindu temples are under attack. They get vandalized. Again, these insane Khalistani conspiracies run rampant. And it's just really, really bad for the social fabric.
All right. The way this is being reported is bizarre. Where the latest information, and Ambassador Prabhudayal, come in on this, Washington Post reporting that Canada has ordered six Indian diplomats to leave the country, including High Commissioner Sanjay Kumar Varma, when in fact the statement over here is diametrically opposite, that we are recalling them, not that they've been asked to leave. It's strange how Daniel, how are you picking this up? How is this? What is the fact over here? Daniel, how is this being reported in Canada? Is it being reported?
Oh, sorry.
Is it being? No, because I've just picked this up from the Washington Post, who are headlining the fact, the claim, that Canada has ordered these diplomats to leave. Over here, the statement is absolutely clear that the government of India has decided to withdraw the High Commissioner and other targeted diplomats. So who asked them to come back?
So we don't know right now. Again, being reported in Canada, right now I'm reporting it in Canada. That's about it. We will see probably, the CBC might come out with a statement right now. But again, this is not a big priority in Canada. This will only really make the news to obfuscate from other news. Canada news is, Justin Trudeau's support base shot up a Jewish school on Yom Kippur. Justin Trudeau's supporters are rampaging through our cities, burning things down. You know, Justin Trudeau's government's embroiled with a scandal in China. Down the line. So in terms of massive scandals, we got 15 right before this. And then we might get to this a bit later. But odds are this will not be covered to the satisfaction of the Indian public within Canadian media is what I'd be willing to say.
Ambassador Prabhudayal, if indeed it is the government of Canada who've asked our High Commissioner and other diplomats to leave, then it's quite obvious that, their diplomats over here would have to leave as well, right?
Well, as I said earlier, I see that this diplomatic row will escalate. And there is no doubt that the relationship will be embittered considerably. Let me mention that under Justin Trudeau, the India-Canada relationship has declined considerably. And frankly speaking, you asked one of my senior colleagues, Mr. Shashank, this question, what is the way out? I think that the way out is for the Canadian people to reject Justin Trudeau as the Prime Minister. And all indications are that they're going to do that. He doesn't have a majority in Parliament. In fact, he never did. He was supported from the outside by Jagmeet Singh Dhaliwal's New Democratic Party. Then Jagmeet Singh withdrew his support. So Trudeau really has no right to be Prime Minister. And in fact, his own party people are actually campaigning against him to get him out. So there have to be elections in Canada. And I think there is no possibility of Justin Trudeau coming back, because as long as he is there, I don't see any chance of an improvement in India's relations with Canada. The downslide will continue, but this is going to be very unfortunate for both sides.
Dr. Tarakarta, how do you see this playing out? We've got trade relations. We're supposed to be trade talks. I presume that's going to be on hold. There are important airline links between both countries. That's perhaps important. But is that something which may be impacted? If India has withdrawn our diplomats from there, it's quite possible that we may ask Canada to take back their diplomats, or Canada might choose to withdraw their own diplomats. In terms of this downslide, where do you see it going next?
You know, there was a secret RCMP report just months ago, saying that warning of large-scale civil unrest in Canada because the economic situation has got so bad. Okay, so that is where Canada is. On the other hand is the fact that Canada is, I think, the 16th or 17th largest investor in India. Do you want to do something about that? This is not a good time to cut off Canadian business. Number two is the fact that If all your people are moving out of Canada, your embassy is closing down, how does that impact their business interests in India? You know, so this is a sort of, what shall I say, a blocked lane. There is no going forward from here. And I would agree that with Jagmeet Singh also now moving out of Trudeau's support line because of the fact, not because of anything else, except that he sees Trudeau as a loser. You know, it's beneficial for him, for his party, to get better, voting, better popularity by removing support from this man. So I don't see where this is going to go unless this man manages to he has to be removed and someone else has to take his place. Otherwise, it's Canadians themselves and all the issues that the Canadian journalist highlighted, which is a very strong economic interest to Canadians. This has to stop somewhere. And the buck stops with Justin Trudeau.
Okay. Ambassador Shashank, just on a matter of fact, New Delhi has stuck to our position because there's been a clarification on whether Canada expelled our diplomats or whether we withdrew them. New Delhi says, no, we have withdrawn our diplomats. So contrary to what the Washington Post is reporting, New Delhi sticking to its stand over there. In terms of the next steps diplomatically, again, in your opinion, what could take place?
Well, India has sent a team of investigators to Washington because Canadians for a very long time kept saying that all the information that they got was from the CIA. And so they were trying to hide behind the American intelligence. And as you recall, in the 80s, actually, it was the Americans who had taken the initial lead, and the Canadians followed them gleefully to set up a base somewhere between India and Pakistan. But now things have changed. So I was wondering why they are trying to do all these things, unless they are so much, the Americans are so feeling so bad about India buying oil or other fertilizer, food, etc., from the Russians, and trying to set up new infrastructure linkages with Central Asia and Eastern Europe, because the Suez Canal is now virtually coming to getting blocked by the fights there. So India is looking after its interests. America and Canada perhaps feel that this is the time to put more pressure on India. But I feel that the once the elections take place in America and Canada, they would realize that the Indians are a good democracy, can be good, friendly people. So I think they really have to see through their way, which for the time being, I think there are so many domestic issues which are clouding their vision.
All right, I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. A crisis in relations between India and Canada. India withdrawing a high commissioner and I believe five other diplomats from Canada after Canada said that India's high commissioner and the others were persons of interest in their investigation. India denying that categorically. India also saying that we reserve a right of response. Would this mean that we'd ask the Canadians to withdraw their diplomats from India as well? We'll take a short break. There's more coming up.